Good morning or afternoon, everyone. This is Heather Vessant. I see that we are starting to have people join the call. Are you guys able to hear me okay?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. We'll just give it another minute or two to let folks join. In the meantime, if you are joining and you come on a regular basis, please type present plus, which I will also do. Today, we're going to have our own Kim Hamilton Duffy in the spotlight talking about a lot of really great things. Just going to give it one more minute. Everyone who's just joining, we're just giving another 30 seconds to let a quorum. If you guys have any audio issues with hearing me, please message in the chat. We are actively, the co-chairs, Kim and Wayne and I, are actively testing out a new meeting system, and we hope to have an update for you for that very soon. The objective of that new system is to make it easier and more reliable for folks outside the U.S. and Europe to join on a regular basis. Okay, I see that we've got a bunch of people joining, so I'll go ahead and get started. Great, okay. So we'll start with an agenda review. Okay, so today we have our own Kim Hamilton Duffy and Manu. They're going to be talking about credentials not in JSON. What craziness! The context, lessons learned, and the path forward. So thanks, Kim and Manu, for blowing our minds. So okay, moving on. IP note. So anyone can contribute to these calls. However, any substantive contribution to any CCG work items, you must be a member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. And to do that, you can join the Credentials Community Group with the link that is on the agenda. And I also will pop it in because I think that maybe we might have some people who may not be on the list. You do need to have a W3C account, and you'll just have to click through a contributor agreement. Okay, moving on, call notes. Okay, so these minutes and an audio recording of everything on the call is archived. We send the meeting minutes out after this meeting. Sometimes it's a few days. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call and to take minutes. And so if you are on the audio and you would like to join the IRC, you can just go, you can join via browser at irc.w3.org/?channels equals CCG. If you are attending here and you're hearing all this, please type present plus to get your name on the attendee transcript. Mm-hmm. If you have something that you want to add or talk about, please add yourself to the queue in IRC by typing Q plus. And you can also add an optional reminder, Q plus, to talk about whatever you want to talk about. The chairs, we do limit the amount of time that we're having people speak to 30 seconds to 1 minute to make sure that can comment as they need to. If you are on the queue, have a very short, succinct point that you make, and if you have other points, decide your most important point, and then wait to put yourself on the queue again. Also, be aware if you are constantly queuing that perhaps that conversation needs to take place either as a special topic or off the list. Okay. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic IRCs are subject to deletion from the record. And now, my favorite is scribe selection. And so, let me get out my scribe selection. First of all, does anyone want to volunteer to scribe? Scribes do a great job of capturing the meeting so that folks can join. Folks who can't join can follow up later. So any volunteers?
Hey, this is Marcus. I can do it.
Oh, hey, Marcus. Great. Thank you so much. Marcus? Oh, and before we get too far, I want to give a shout-out to Dave Longley for scribing last week. Is Dave on here? Yes, maybe. Dave, thank you so much. You did an amazing job scribing the fire hose of Wallet Part 2. And Marcus, thank you so much for scribing. Great. Okay.
Thanks. And thanks, everybody, for all the information. It was great.
Yeah, and we the chairs plan to do some follow-up with that, and we will keep you guys posted on that. Okay, great. So introductions and reintroductions. I think we have some new folks on the list, new folks joining. Would you like to, and if you are not an IRC and you would like to make an introduction, just bust in audially. So anyone want to do an introduction? It's the first time or one of the first times they've been here and hasn't introduced themselves before.
Oh, myself, I can do it. My name is Nacho Lamillo. I am a lawyer specialized in EIDAS. So now I am here to introduce some legal stuff regarding the signature of the verified credentials. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Welcome. What was your name again? I didn't catch it quite at the very beginning.
My name is Nacho Alamillo.
Nacho, great. Welcome. Anyone else who would like to introduce themselves? Okay. Reintroductions. So these are folks that have been part of the community for some time. And is there anyone, let's see, looking at the reintroduction list, we have Johnny Crunch. Are you on here? I don't see you.
Yeah,
okay. I am. Sorry.
Sure. Great. Would you like to do a reintroduction?
Also known as Jonathan Holt, I am a physician by training, a triple board certified in internal medicine, clinical genetics, and clinical informatics. I was on faculty at Stanford and then Vanderbilt and then did a series of startup companies, including a gene sequencing company, and then Transcendex, which is my own, which is a healthcare interoperability and cyber identity company. And more recently, I am the CMIO, the Chief Medical Informatics Officer for Consensus Health.
Fantastic. Thanks. Okay, moving on to...
Hello. Sorry to interrupt. I missed the point on introductions. This is William O'Keefe. So hello everyone from Brussels in Belgium. I'm joining the call today. I'm a project officer for the project manager for a project called Europass, which is being run by the European Commission, and some of my colleagues and some of our team are also on the call. So we was invited to join the call today, and we're very happy to be on the call and look at some cooperation between Europass and W3C, and in particular on the topic of digital credentials. Really briefly, I know there's a time limit. Europass is the EU framework for cooperation on skills and qualifications, and it's run by the European Commission, operating in 36 countries, and we just launched a new phase of Europass this month. and it's underpinned by tools and standards to enable some more effective cooperation and communication of information on skills, qualifications, learning in 29 languages across the EU. And really, when we started this work, in particular our work on a standard to enable the sharing of information on credentials, we wanted it, it was our guiding principle that it would be W3C compliant. So the team on the call today, just we want to take the opportunity of being on the call to look at this cooperation going forward. So really just thank you again for inviting us onto the call.
Fantastic, William. Thank you for attending. Also, I will give another moment. Is there anyone else who it's their first time who would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, Kim. This is Luis Ariño. I am my first time in W3CBC, not on W3CBC Edu. I am one of the two combiners of the diplomas use case and the European blockchain service infrastructure. And related to what William introduced before, we expect to use the Europass data model also on the European blockchain service infrastructure. That's all.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining
Very quick, quick scribe interrupt. What was your name who just spoke?
Luis Ariño. I will write it on the. Let me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Checking in one more time. Anyone else who it's your first time and you would like to introduce yourself? Okay, I will take that silence as we can move on to announcements and reminders. Okay, looking at announcements and reminders. I'll put the link in. So Identiverse is, this is the sixth week of Identiverse going on, and I gotta say, I just recorded my video for that. And it's going on apparently for another 2 weeks. So if you have, if you've not been able to attend, you can check that out. And maybe someone can drop the Identiverse link in it. Registration is free. It looks like there's been a lot of really cool sessions. Apparently Henry Rollins was in a conversation last week. I can't believe I missed it. Because I want us to hear what Henry Rollins has to say about identity. I know, right, Manu? So we've got a couple of recurring CCG meetings that happen on a regular basis. This is our regular CCG call. It happens on Tuesdays at this time. We also have a verifiable credentials for education task force. That's head up by Dimitri and Kim, I believe. And that happens on Mondays at 8 a.m. Pacific. We also have DID resolution calls on Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific or 4 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, my European participants, I don't have the time zone switched right away, and I don't have that automatically in my brain. And then the third one that we also have on a regular basis is the secure data storage calls. And that happens on Thursdays at 1 p.m. And let's see, any other comments anyone has about these? Oh, Dimitri, I think I meant you're the secure data storage. Okay, well then let's move on to progress on action items. Put the link in here. Wait a second, let's see if there's anyone on the queue. Okay, no one's on the queue. Great. Okay, so touching base about some action items. We've got two things going on here. Kim, do you want to touch base about a couple of these things since you've been primarily working on these two items?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Heather. Can you tell me if you can't, well, tell me if you can't hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Kim. Thanks.
Okay, excellent. So for the first one listed there, number 143, VC issuer and verifier APIs, actually, we closed on that last week. It's an action item now for the chairs to do the follow-up bookkeeping exercise. So I will do that this week and make sure that everything's merged and accounted for properly. So the one to briefly discuss, though, that's interesting is thanks to Ori, we got some more insight into the community group licenses that we should be using in the credentials community group. Essentially, there's sort of two takeaways. We have an increasing amount of work items that relate to, I won't call them reference implementations, but I think we say like sample implementations. And the community group license doesn't clearly cover stuff like that. Like it mentions test suites, I think, and specifications, but it doesn't talk about general software. So Ori had been investigating the idea of using Apache 2 license to apply the software. We checked with Wendy and various W3C legal folks, and they said, yes, we can absolutely use a mixed license. And so it's a merging of the W3C's recommended community group license and the Apache 2 license to cover software. I think the chairs and I need to follow up about this with next steps, so I flagged it for us to talk about. The other related item is that for some reason, the default license.md that we're including in repos when we create them is missing the full text of the W3C's recommended CG license. So we need to go through all the current repos and update them and also update the repo generation script. So I'm glad that we did this exercise. I think we have a lot more clarity now that should apply to different work items. And we're going to try to make it so that it's easier to just get the right thing going forward. So, you know, the chairs, depending on the work item type, know how to just directly set that up for you.
Awesome. Kim, thanks so much for your diligent follow-up on chasing up all those details with the licenses. Not everyone on the list is visible, has the transparency to see all the hard work that you've put in to make sure that we have clarity with that. So it's exciting that we'll get that resolved. Okay, great. So now we're going to get on to the meat of the project, of the meeting. I'm going to switch the order of this a little bit. I've had a request because of some of the folks that are here for the main event, the credentials not in JSON, craziness, might have to leave before the top of the hour. So we're going to start with credentials not in JSON, and then we'll go through the rest of the items. So Kim and Manu, are you guys ready? Can I put the spotlight on you guys at this point?
Yes, definitely. And just for context about how we'll do it, I included a slide deck that I intend to sort of describe the problem that we're encountering. I am going to try to go through that setup pretty briefly so that we can get our guests with more expertise and things like European legal signatures and requirements and like why verifiable credentials are in XML now. So we want to try to get everyone to give their part and then leave some time at the end for discussion. We'll try to wrap up by roughly the 45-minute mark for the other for the rest of folks. So if you'll open that link, I'll start walking us through. So thanks to my co-chairs for their catchy clickbait title, so VC's not in JSON, and we have guest subject matter experts Ignacio or Nacho Alamillo and Anthony Camilleri, who have been very active in this space, and you know, they can provide some useful input on this discussion. Going to slide two, I'm going to talk about the context. So we have this Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. Link is in there if you want more information about joining. One of our most critical work items is the idea of coming up with good first, good working samples that people can start using in pilots that represent educational verifiable credentials. So right now, if you're wanting to do a verifiable credential pilot, you may not have a wealth of examples that you can use. However, there's a lot of prior work on educational data standards, and so we want to start using it because there's a lot of interesting stuff there, but we have the problem of what do we do with XML. And one thing that I will probably defer to another time is discussion of the sort of more technical aspects of why we thought it was initially easier than it was, but there's more complexity. But so the goal of this talk is to describe the problem, how it happens, and review some possible solutions. So I just want to drill in for a second on slide 3 about why this is important. So in contrast to some other use cases, in EDU, there's a lot of precedent for linked data. There's data models, taxonomies, ontologies covering all the kinds of things you might want to express. So skills, accomplishments, competency definitions. And furthermore, there are assessment frameworks that you can sort of align what a competency means. And all of this work enables alignment of credentials and also transferability. So I wanted to show some examples briefly to the right. So in the US-led effort is basically Credential Finder. I think it skews heavily North American right now. It's intended to be open, but it's basically where you can go and enter your credential definition, provide some additional information about it so that other people know what it means. There's a lot of work and a precedent in the European qualification framework, and many of the member states have their own qualification framework, and there's a lot of work about alignment of different levels of achievement. And I wanted to quickly point to this resource if you want to browse around for some more examples. There's this thing called the LER Hub that T3 Innovation Network has been working on to gather up some resources about, like, if you're wanting to look more into this kind of information. But why is this it's increasingly important right now. So not just to enable workforce mobility, you know, the idea that your traditional degree, like a college degree or high school, is sort of outdated, limited in its ability to, represent what you're capable of. And so we see this as a way to, empower learners and workers. But then also, unfortunately, in the U.S., especially now, schools are increasingly closing. And the idea that students need portable records is going to come up more and more. So this is a problem a lot of us are focused on. I want to show two examples of, okay, so there's a lot of work that exists in XML. What do we do with it is the problem. So I'll show you some examples of how people have tried to work with it. So the first example I'll show is, slide 4, is EDCI. And Anthony, who's joined us, I'll cue him in just a couple minutes to talk more about the current state of things as well. But so what they ended up doing, they mapped verifiable credentials to XML, the verifiable credential data model. So remember, the verifiable credential data model currently only has two serializations. That's JSON-LD, JSON. So it's a data model, so you should be able to map it to other serializations, but it's currently not clear in the spec how you would go about that. So why did they have to do this? It's basically EID, there's probably EIDAS legal signature requirements, and that resulted in the need to use XML signatures. And so, problem, of course, that the VC data model does not currently define an XML serialization. I am going to give one more example, and then we'll quickly get to sort of the discussion about it. So the other example of what people have tried, a common, at least in North America, way to express transcripts at the college and high school level are PESC XML transcripts. So the way they did this is just jam that XML string in there, which, you know, that's a way to do it. That gives you the sort of immediate, you know, use as a verifiable credential. So basically the problem that we wanted to address in the Verifiable Credentials for Education group is, you know, what directional guidance do we want to give long-term versus short-term? You know, so we've seen the approach of, you know, put the XML string in there, but it does push awareness of the payload to a different layer. How much do we care about this? Is that okay as a short-term, or, you know, it's okay as a short-term measure, but, you know, so how critical is that? Other options that we've seen, other options that we've not seen yet that are considered are mapping XML to JSON or JSON-LD, and that's what they're considering in PESC, but that still needs standardization by the relevant standards org. And then lastly, there's the idea of, you know, if we define verifiable credentials as XML, the problem is it's not as straightforward as it may look. There are answers that fortunately Manu and Ivan have been able to point us to. The other thing I want to note is that given that there are different requirements involved, so in the case of EIDAS legal signature requirements, you know, that may argue for one solution versus some other options. So I want to actually plow ahead from my slides 7, 8, and 9, which are pretty, let me move to slide 8, actually. We'll skip 7. The slide 8, one problem that we talked about in the previous Verifiable Credentials for Education meetings is that so say that we did support, say we did support XML as a verifiable credential, serialization. Then, what about the legal signature requirements? Like, have we really helped anything there? So I wanted to tee up, combination of Nacho and Anthony, whichever order they prefer, to sort of give some context. So briefly, again, the legal signatures are, define precise profiles of XML signatures. And it's not clear that it necessarily covers the XML RDF mapping that we would be looking at. So, but at the same time, there are other efforts underway to do mappings of verifiable credentials as JSON or possibly JSON-LD. So I wanted to queue up Ignacio and Anthony to talk about basically current status.
I would suggest Ignacio starts because he can maybe give it from a legal perspective, and then I can dive in with the pragmatic use case.
Okay, that's fine. So then I will give you just a short legal background. You know that in the European Union we have this regulation which is called the EIDAS, and it is used for providing interoperability solutions from a legal perspective to allow the movement of documents, among other things, between member states. So to foster interoperability, the European Commission has approved an implementing act, which is a kind of regulation, defining the formats, the syntax formats we should be using when producing documents to be sent to other member states. So right now we have this Commission implementing decision, which is 2015/1506. Which is laying down specifications relating to formats of advanced electronic signature and advanced seals to be recognized by public sector bodies. So that means that when you use this any format which is referenced in this Commission implementation decision, your document will be directly recognized by any member state. So that means that it is really interesting member states that are issuing or public sector bodies issuing any type of credential in as a matter of public procedure to align with these specifications. In fact, we have right now four technical formats which are recognized. The first one has been already mentioned, which is the SHADES baseline profile. This means that this is a specific enhancement of the 3W consortium XML signature specification, which is including some set of attributes, signed attributes and non-signed attributes for XML signatures. So with this format, you get a special type of signature with all the information you need to prove that it is an advanced electronic signature. In the same way, we have KDES signatures, which are based on CMS, IETF specification, and that means that they are more they are using ASN1 syntax, so it is more in line with electronic email systems and, you know, and PDF. And then we have a specific type for PDF documents, which is called PADES. And finally, we have something which is called the Associated Signature Container profile, which is based on a kind of zip document, zip file containing the signature and any other information. So the idea is when you use this kind of profiles, your signature will be accepted directly with no discussion at all. So therefore, it is quite important to use this kind of formats. But I want to say something. You can produce a CHADES signature starting from a binary document, and you could also produce a CHADES signature using starting from an XML document. So it is not mandatory to produce a CHADES signature when you are signing a CHADES document. And so you have a lot of freedom to use these profiles with respect to the content. So in there are some cases where you don't have to go through XML serialization if you still want to use CHADES signatures. So this is something you should take into account when designing the solution, because at the end of the day, CHADES is just an enhancement over the classical XML signature specification and syntax provided in the standards, which is including a set of information to prove that the signature is actually an advanced signature. This information will include signed attributes such as your certificate or the signing time or the role of the signatory and these sort of things. But still, this is just an additional object which is included in the signature, and it does not preclude you to use non-XML documents as the input of the signature. So it is up for you. The other thing I wanted to explain is that we are working in ETSI, which is the European Telecommunications Standard Institute. Inside the technical committee ESI, which I am a member of, we are working right now in a new technical specification to define what is going to be called JADES, which means JSON, Advanced Electronic Signature, Advanced Electronic Signatures Format. And in this case, this specification, which is still non-public, and I think it might be possible to share it in a very limited scope, what we are doing is to specify the JSON format for ADA signatures built on JSON web signatures, as specified in IETF RFC 7515. So to do that, what we are doing is to extend the JSON web signatures specified in this RFC by defining an additional set of JSON header parameters to be incorporated in the JSON header and other things. So just the same, we have created an additional object to be included in an XML document. We are doing the same thing for JSON web signatures. I'm not an expert in JSON LD, but when I had a look at the technical specification for linked data proofs, my impression was that JSON web signatures were authorized. So one possibility could also to wait for this specification to be approved and then just go for JSON web signatures aligned with EIDAS once this specification has been approved. So I think that we have two ways forward here. One possibility is to put a CHADES document using non-XML serialization by just using CHADES or KDES to sign the verified credential without transforming it into an XML. And the other possibility, of course, it would be to use a CHADES with a specific transformation method to do proprietarization, translating from XML to JSON-LD, which I have to admit that it might be quite difficult from to start with, but it is a possibility. And the other possibility, of course, is to wait until we have CHAdeS approved. And finally, the calendar for the approval of CHAdeS technical specification in Etsy is already delayed, but hopefully we will have a first version of this technical specification by this year, 2020. So here you have just a glimpse of the legal background. Of course, now this implementing decision issued by the European Commission is being under review. So probably in the future we will including more, more syntaxes in there. While this does not happen, we still have a last possibility in the regulation, which is to use a different method if a member state is providing some technical infrastructure to the other member states free of charge to validate the signature. We have explored a little this possibility in the Etsy ESIF project, where you have, you know, that there has been a project there called the EIDAS Bridge, where we have started to work with legal data proofs, and they are not following any of these syntaxes. But I still have written in my legal report, which is publicly accessible, that this is also legally acceptable. It is not so easy, but it's according to implementing decision 2015-1506. And I think that's all by now. Thanks.
Okay, so maybe I will take over from here then. All the stuff Nacho's talking about is, let's say, where we're moving forward with identity as a whole in Europe. Let's say there is a very significant lag between draft standards through to creating building block to having that implemented in member states through to it actually, let's say, being available to public administrations. Usually you wouldn't dare put something on this, but I would say that you probably would be talking about 3 to 5 year lag before this would, let's say, hit the type of production that we would be talking about. In the meantime, what is, let's say, for the past 5 years or so, Europe has built its educational infrastructure on XML. And I mean, there's a whole alphabet soup of projects for sharing student data amongst institutions using XML, publishing and publishing credentials using XML, et cetera, et cetera. I myself have been heading up one of those, which is the European Digital Credential Infrastructure, which we have basically done this work on trying to express verifiable credentials as XML and putting then these SADS type signatures as enveloping signatures to try and mimic the format as much as possible. The reason I'm giving all of this information is that in terms of standardization workload, I would say that we would be aiming for two things. Number one, we would hope to have an XML recommendation from the Verifiable Credentials Task Force that would allow us to say that we are broadly in line with verifiable credentials, even when using XML. But on the other hand, in 4 to 5 years, we would probably slowly switch over to JSON. So that needs to be kept into account. But let's say the numbers of credentials we are talking about issuing credentials in the millions. So we're not talking about a tiny implementation here. Our preference, in order of preference, the very basic is that, I mean, we would like to have an XML namespace dedicated to verifiable credentials. At whatever level of officialdom is appropriate,
it would be very, very nice to be able to have a schema definition file, a high-level schema definition file, that would say this is a recommended implementation of a verifiable credential as XML. Further down the line, figuring out how that can be transformed into JSON would also be very good. But let's say this is the line we would take. I'm afraid I am not the guy for the very, very technical discussions of XML versus XML IDF, etc. It's a public holiday today in Belgium, so I couldn't actually bring these guys into the call. But let's say our high-level message is the preferable thing for us would really be to have some kind of schema definition endorsed by W3C or by the user group.
Fantastic. Thank you, Nacho and Anthony, very much. And I think I was not planning to go through the rest of my presentation. If anyone wants to talk about that separately, let me know. But I wanted to turn over, we do have a queue, and I wanted to, Manu has been suggesting some items. So actually, maybe Heather, I'll turn over to you to do just queue management now.
Sure, yeah, sounds great, Kim. We can go through this queue and then I'll pass it back to you to take it from here.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so we've got Ori. Manu, you were on the queue a bunch of times.
It's okay. Let Ori go, and then I'll go after him.
Okay. Ori, you're up.
Yeah, so this is really exciting work. I just wanted to mention that, you know, I've done some experiments on converting JSON-LD verifiable credentials to XML and back. So there's, depending on your tolerance for how the credentials are constructed initially, there are mechanisms for converting them to XML, assuming that you started in JSON-LD, and there are similar conversion approaches for binary representations and that kind of thing. So one path forward for some of those formats is to just rely on the JSON-LD and vocabulary definitions and then convert to other representations. There's some advantages to taking that approach, namely the not duplicating the vocabulary section in each of the underlying representations semantics. So like not needing to repeat an XML vocabulary and a JSON-LD vocabulary and a CBOR vocabulary and a regular JSON vocabulary. Thanks.
Thanks, Ori. Okay, Manu, you have the floor, and I think you're going to address a couple different things, so take the time you need to address the multiple items.
Thank you. I'll try to be quick. So first up, thank you so much for being here, Anthony, Nacho, and William. These are really important topics, and I think this group cares very deeply about the work that each of you is doing. The first thing I wanted to point out is that you're in the right place. There's a ton of experience around verifiable credentials and expressing them in multiple different formats in this group. So the first thing is please continue to engage with this group, primarily because we're also the conduit into the verifiable credentials maintenance working group. So if there is an XML serialization of verifiable credentials, it would go through this group to the official W3C maintenance working group on verifiable credentials. That's the shortest path to get a international standard around XML representation for verifiable credentials. So that's the first point I wanted to make, is to know that your work is very much of interest to this group, and we can hopefully fast track a solution through if we collaborate. Okay, so that's point one. The second point on how to on what to specifically work on, there are two primary things that I heard each of you saying. One of them, it has to do with getting a clean XML representation down, right? So there is a requirement that we express these things in XML, and so we need to figure out how to express a verifiable credential in XML cleanly. The second thing has to do with digital signatures and the slew of digital signature formats that you just outlined. Ideally, we would provide a profile that matches well with XML. I think one of the failure scenarios would be trying to support absolutely everything. So if we said, oh, we intend to support ZS and CADS and PADS and JADS and the ASICs and ASICE stuff, I think it would be a failure of the group. There would be too many options, right? So we need to reduce optionality. Finally, I think other important thing is that, as Ori mentioned, there are a few of us in the group that have been working on how to transform existing verifiable credentials into other formats like CBOR, like XML. And there are some design patterns or mechanisms that we can use to do full round tripping. So with that said, I think there's certainly the technical expertise in this group. Certainly the standards expertise is in this group. And so what we would need to know from each of you is specifically, you know, feedback on the XML format. What should it look like? And then we need to understand in detail what the actual digital signature requirements are. Are they on the cryptography themselves, or does it have to be expressible in ZS, for example? That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Manu. Let's see. I don't think we have anyone on the queue. No. Kim, shall I kick it back to you, or Nacho or Anthony?
Just,
do you have any other comments?
Yeah,
just one last thing. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Maybe I'll just say one thing very quickly because I also need to run. I think in terms of keeping things simple, especially if there's an openness to serializing XML, then in terms of then it becomes quite simple in the sense that there is a defined standard signature profile valid across the entire European Union and beyond. It's fully defined, very, very standardized. And essentially, let's say XML uses JADS. We have an upcoming JADS format, which would be for JSON signatures once that comes online in the future and basically could work with current verifiable credentials easily. I wouldn't necessarily try bridging these two signature formats in any way, honestly, because, yeah, that's way too much work and I'm not sure the value in it. So that's generally the way I would go. We can send you, we have tons of documentation on all of this, and I would basically then just ask you, let's say, in which groups or circle could we share all of this and take it forward?
Yeah, if I may add something, just to note that JADES is also an ISO standard. So it is true that we created in the European Union. In fact, I was part of the technical committee that designed JADES, but I co-authored part of that many years ago. But today it is an international standard. So it's true that if a verified credential is in XML, and there is a good reason for that to happen, we should go for JADES in the baseline profile, which means that we are getting rid of many options that are not needed. And I concur completely with the idea of not using JADES, for instance, because we don't believe in issuing credentials by using PDF format. So probably it is true that if the syntax is XML, definitely it should be JADES, and definitely it should be following the baseline profile issued by ETSI. We can help there. And in the future, if JADES comes out and it's useful, then you would be able also to consider that. But it is true that it might take us a couple of years or 3 years to have it legally recognized, not technically written. So, yeah, just wanted to support that.
Great, awesome. Manu, you're in the queue.
Right, so first up, because I keep forgetting to say this, thanks a ton to Kim for putting the slide deck together. She did all of the work in putting the group together. Kim did all the work there. The point I wanted to focus in on was that's great. If we can take the PDF stuff, the PDF stuff off the table, fantastic. That's one option that we don't have to consider. I couldn't tell if you were saying X-A-D-E-S or J-A-D-E-S. I'm guessing you were saying X-A-D-E-S because that's already a standard. If we can focus on just one of those, it will bring the design space down to something that I feel is a fairly achievable thing, especially given the timelines that you're mentioning. 1 to 2 years is we can absolutely, get something out, potentially even, standards track in that amount of time. And the simpler we make this, meaning like if we're just going to reuse the XADES stuff that's out there, I think the better off we are if there is no choice but to use an XML expression. I'm hearing a very strong, we have to be able to encode this in XML because that's what the European learning ecosystem is built around. And if that's a hard requirement, then maybe what we should do is an XML serialization plus XADES and call that the way that we should proceed. But I'm guessing. I don't know if that's that is the preference.
Yeah, that was my preference, yes.
Yeah, same here, yes.
Great, because I think there's a simple mapping there, hopefully.
Great. We have Anil John on the queue. Anil?
Thank you, Heather. Kim, this is more for you more than anything else. I just want to get a sense from you whether there are any current examples of education credentials, for example, a university degree in verifiable credential format that is available. The primary reason I'm asking is that, as you know, we are about to come out with a price competition for a digital wallet UI that stores multiple credentials. The use case, because I ended up having some really good conversations with a colleague at Department of Education in the US, is around, I'm a permanent resident in the US who is seeking employment from an entity, and the employer is asking both for their permanent resident card, which we've already defined as part of our work in verifiable credential format, and a university degree in a verifiable credential format as well. So I'm trying to point some folks to examples that they can use as a universal credential, as an example of a university credential that that sort of shows the flow, obtain the credential from a university, presenting it, and as you're doing a verifiable credentials presentation of both a permanent resident card and a university degree to an employer.
Great, Kim.
Thanks, Anil. I think you joined pretty soon after we talked about it. So unfortunately, I have been hoping that someone else would get to it first, but unfortunately, no good examples really exist yet. So that's why there's a document that I pasted in IRC. Let me do that again now that we have context. So what we're trying to do is, before all of the work that's required to actually go through the standardization process, what are best practices and recommendations we can give right now? So we've been fortunate that people from the relevant educational data standards bodies are very supportive and participating in that group. So Nate Otto, Jim Goodell, and other people who are helping us sort of go through the data modeling process. The understanding has to be that any artifact in there is very much draft, but we want to get it to a point that we feel pretty confident, like, yes, that's how we want it to look. Then we can hand it over to the data standards bodies. But the other goal is to also allow pilots to start to kind of be unblocked so that they don't have to create their own thing. And so they're using the best practices that we can recommend. So I would point people to that document and to the verifiable credentials for education work group, because we're trying to be like the near term where people can start get started right now.
Thanks, Kim.
Got it, thank you.
I want to also give a special thank you to Nacho and Anthony for this, and also a big thank you to Kim and Manu. And I also want to give a thank you to Lewis, who helped Marcus with scribing. We'll conclude this item, and you know how to reach the folks and that spoke today, and really great conversation. Thanks, Ori, for your contributions as well. We are going to punt on a couple of the other agenda items, but before we go, I would like to have updates on the secure data storage and DIVCOM. So, Ori, you think you can give us a two-minute update? And Sam, can you prep for a two-minute update after that?
Yes, I can. So the Secure Data Stores Working Group is a joint effort between the W3C and Decentralized at Any Foundation. The purpose of the work is to support the concept of data storage that's associated with decentralized identifiers. So the use cases for secure data stores are things like storing wallet contents, things like storing contents that's associated with a particular decentralized identifier, allowing to share data between two different decentralized identifiers by granting one decentralized identifier access to another decentralized identifier. And I should mention it's not just limited to DIDs, it's really a generic data structure. It's just primarily we really need a way of supporting data storage and sharing and interoperability associated with decentralized identifiers. So the work is ongoing. There's been two primary input documents to the working group. The first is the encrypted data vault specification, which was, I believe, hosted here prior to being moved over. And the other is the Identity Hub specification, which was developed at the Decentralized Identity Foundation. And they are similar in some ways and very, very different in others. And the working group is still exploring where the boundaries are between them, what the interfaces look like, the privacy and security considerations associated with them, and also the use cases for both the encrypted data vaults interfaces and the hub interfaces. And just briefly to sort of to tease the issue, encrypted data vaults are for storing encrypted data, and hubs have a lot of public data use cases. So there's a whole different set of privacy concerns associated with hubs, but there's also a bunch of other potential use cases for hubs. And Microsoft has been working really actively to explore those use cases in particular, and I think we're going to eventually see some deeper integration between the hubs interfaces as they become defined and some of the existing standards and specifications that are happening out there. So I think that's probably enough of a summary.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ori, and thanks for keeping it in a short period of time. Sam, you're up. You got 2 minutes.
Okay, I've got a link with a quick overview of slides. If you're interested, the DIDCOM working group, DIDCOM is short for DID communication. The idea is to provide a method for secure communication where trust is rooted in the DIDs and depends on the messages themselves and not on the transports used. And so there's a bit of a history to this work. It originated within the Hyperledger Aries community. We've come to call that version 1, and it's still in active use there. Lots of interest in IW29, lots of work. Now we have a working group, and we've made really good progress in producing some cool stuff. Slide 4, if you look at the link, has a bit of a map of a You Are Here scenario that includes the fact that we're based on DIDs and DID documents and then support the development of DIDCOM protocols on top of the DIDCOM foundational layer that the working group is focused on. There is some related work, and I've got links in the slides, for the JWM IETF draft by Tobias Looker that we're basing the format on, and also ECDH1PU, which is also a draft of the IETF for the particular type of encryption that we're seeking to use for specific reasons. Skipping just a little bit, it is transport agnostic with the goal of being able to work over HTTP and WebSockets, which are both popular and in use today, also to be able to embed messages in a QR code for a sort of a jumpstart of the user experience. And we've got some good stuff going on, expanded to key type support, and nailing down the specifics of transports, et cetera. The last slide, you can join us, calls on Mondays at US noon Pacific, and we post our agenda and recordings, and there's also a link in the slides that I posted of the agenda and recordings. And that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam, and sorry we didn't have extra time for you. Appreciate you making that so concise. Everyone, thank you so much for joining our call today. Special shout out and thank you to Marcus and Lewis for scribing. And next week we've got some presentations by GS1, and Wayne will be sending an agenda for that in a few days. So thanks for joining the CCG. You can always reach out to your chairs, Kim, Wayne, and myself if you've got any questions or want to present anything or just want to chat. So with that, we'll conclude the meeting. Thank you so much and have an awesome